Turn to Proverbs 6:30. We're moving right along here. It says, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. So we're switching gears here a bit. I mean, this is still pertinent. Solomon is using this as an example of the adulterer, but we're just going to take a little break from that and just talk about what this verse is specifically saying. So men will have compassion on a thief if he steals to feed himself, assuming that at least three things are true, and these are three things that I could think of anyway. If he has no other means to acquire food, right? If a thief is in desperate straits and he's very hungry, but his parents live down the road, but he goes and breaks into his neighbor's house for food, and he could have gone to his parents' house, obviously men are still going to despise the thief, right? So there are some stipulations here. Or if he is not stealing with a wicked intent to harm his neighbor. So if he's starving and he's got several neighbors, he's like, well, I really hate that neighbor. I'm going to break through his window to get food from him to feed myself. Well, then you're probably going to despise a guy because he had some ill intent there. Or he is not stealing to enrich himself due to covetousness. So maybe he is hungry and he breaks into the house, but he also, you know, takes your guns and your jewelry and everything else while he's at it, right? He's stealing to feed his soul when he's hungry, but he got a little bit more than just some bread and butter, right? So assuming those things are not true, then men are not generally going to despise a guy if he's actually stealing to feed himself, right? He's still going to get in trouble, as the verse and as Solomon will go on to say later, but men are going to have compassion on that kind of thing. When a man's hungry, he will sometimes do criminal things out of desperation, and in such cases, men will not despise him. And I think we could all understand that. You know, you could feel bad for a guy that maybe even if he did break into your house because he was just that desperate and that hungry. But, you know, I wish he would just ask me because I'd just give him food, right? You don't got to break in. But anyway, Matthew Henry said, as for the sin of stealing, if a man were brought to it by extreme necessity, if he stole meat for the satisfying of his soul when he was hungry, though that will not excuse him from guilt, yet it is such an extenuation of his crime that men do not despise him, do not expose him to ignominy, but pity him. Hunger will break through stone walls, and blame will be laid upon those that brought him to poverty or that did not relieve him. And I think there's some truth to that, especially today. Today, if anybody commits any kind of crime, you feel bad for him. Everybody feels bad for him, and it was his parents' fault, or if it was society's fault, or it was his teacher's fault. It was somebody's fault. It wasn't anybody's fault but his own. But especially the guy that's legitimately hungry enough to break through and steal, men probably would get more upset at the people that caused his poverty than the man himself. So Solomon here is using a thief in contrast to an adulterer, because in verse 32, which we'll get to next week, Lord willing, he says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So comparing a thief to an adulterer. And this kind of makes a powerful case here. Whereas men do not despise a thief who steals out of desperation, they will wound, dishonor, and reproach an adulterer. Verse 33, a wound of dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Men are not going to have compassion on the adulterer. You can't say, well, you know, I was just really deprived of my sexual needs, and I had no choice but to go into my neighbor's wife. And nobody's going to buy that, right? It's different if I haven't worked for a month, I have no food, I'm starving to death. You're going to have compassion on that, but not on the other one. Nobody's going to buy that. This shows that adultery is a greater crime than theft, especially when theft was a result of destitution. And I think everybody would probably agree that adultery is worse than theft. And it's interesting that the Ten Commandments point to this because adultery comes before thievery in Exodus 20, 14 through 15. And there's probably a good reason for that. It would make sense that the Lord would list the sins in order of degree. Killing comes before adultery, right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. But it's interesting, today, thieves are punished with jail time, While adulterers are not punished at all, nor even dishonored or reproached in many cases, which shows how far our society has fallen from biblical morality. You think about it, in the Bible, adulterers were stoned, the man and the woman. Today, adulterers are, I mean, there's not even hardly a stigma to it anymore. I mean, how many people walk around shamefaced because they committed adultery? You know, how many people are shunned in society because of that? None. You certainly don't get in any kind of trouble in the courts. I think even, and maybe it varies state to state, but if you are the victim of adultery and you divorce your spouse, I don't even think you get any special treatment. It's not like this all, you know, 100% of the spouse's income now goes to you if you were the victim of adultery. I mean, it's just like any other, just like two people that can't get along, just split everything 50-50. It doesn't matter if the guy or the woman was unfaithful. There's virtually no punishment for adultery whatsoever. But you steal something, and you're going to jail. And if you steal something from the government, you're going to jail for a long time. Like, you don't pay all your taxes or something, or you don't pay that unpaid parking ticket, you're going to be in big trouble. But, you know, you commit what the Bible calls a heinous crime of adultery. Yeah, nobody worries about that. I mean, heck, presidents in the United States have done it. You know, many of them. Nobody cares. It just kind of shows you where we're at. That takes care of verse 30.